We wanted to take a minute today to take a look at another time in history and ask ourselves, can we rise to the occasion now the way Teddy Roosevelt did then? That's the question author David Gessner poses. Roosevelt saved more than 200 million acres of land in national parks and monuments, national forests. David followed Roosevelt's trail, camping in the South Dakota Badlands or Arizona's Grand Canyon or California's Yosemite, as he asks himself, can we continue to do what Roosevelt did and save old and new sites? President Obama designated Bear's Ears in Utah a national monument, and then President Trump reduced that monument by 85%. As for David Gessner, while he's on a roll, he asks, can we now save the Earth from climate change? Thinking of Roosevelt, he says, what must it be like to save something? In 1903, when then-President Theodore Roosevelt visited the Grand Canyon, he said, leave it as it is. You cannot improve upon it. Leave It As It Is, A Journey Through Theodore Roosevelt's American Wilderness is David Gessner's new book. And David, I think the last time you were here, we were talking about a successful effort to save ospreys in New England. So welcome back.
Thank you. It's a little easier to save ospreys than save the world, but same kind of basic game plan.
Well, and your book is literally a journey. It's a road trip that you took with a nephew. And what were you looking for?
Well, you know, I'd had a lot of friends who were writers who were kind of knee-jerk responding to whatever Donald Trump had done. And when he undeclared, or rather Ryan Zinke, his Secretary of Interior, standing in front of a picture of Teddy Roosevelt on what would have been Roosevelt's 159th birthday, undeclared Bears Ears National Monument, or 85% of it, I was upset enough to think, I'm going to reply to this, but I'm going to do it the slow way. And I'm going to write about public land and why it's still important to save it and why it could be kind of the Noah's Ark for our future. And that what Roosevelt did back then was prescient. And we need to have that same kind of vision now.
And I just want you to explain that, why it might be a Noah's Ark. It might be, in many ways, by being smart about public land now, there may be a way to give species a path out of the United States, for instance, elsewhere. It may be the thing that can allow endangered species to travel to areas where they can live.
Right. When Roosevelt started declaring national monuments in 1906, he was doing something big and bold and unheard of. And right now we have bold ideas going on in the West. You know, we have fires going on in the West, of course, but we also have bold ideas. And the one that you're describing is Y2Y, Yellowstone to the Yukon. And what has happened is we've started to connect parks. So there are pathways with vegetated underpasses and overpasses. And that allows for migration to happen and the big carnivores to start to move and migrate like they want to, and for evolution to keep evolving. So despite the depressing, you know, daily news about the fires, what we have is this idea of bold, big parks that can save us, that can save animals.
Hmm. Look, let's just take a second and remind people who Teddy Roosevelt is. Many already have an image in their mind. And as you say, sometimes it's a caricature. You know, yes, FDR's Republican cousin, several years before FDR, sick as a child, as a man, I love this phrase, a nonstop self-mythologizing machine, you know, itching for either a fight or a good hunt, created his own regiment to participate in, you know, the war in Cuba, led his men up San Juan Hill. You know, kind of somebody that you ordinarily might not be attracted to, somebody who's just, you know, America first, manifest
exactly.
Destiny. Yeah. But then there's the other one that I think you say, as others do, you, like other people, fell a little in love with, you know, the one who loved birds.
Exactly. Well, you know, he's got a lot of Trumpian characteristics. His daughter Alice said of him, my father always wanted to be the corpse at every funeral, the bride at every wedding, the baby at every christening. And, you know, grew up rich in New York. He actually had two small hands. They always made fun of him for that. But their differences really define them. And one of the big differences was not only did Roosevelt grow to, like, read a book a day at one point. He was so curious and intensely curious. But he studied, his dream when he was a teenager was not to be a soldier, not to be a president. It was to be a working naturalist like his hero, Charles Darwin. And it was through birds and the study of birds that he started to write. And eventually, he wrote 47 books. So this is the contradictory, kind of fascinating, hypocritical, bizarre Roosevelt, who I really did come to love. And so it's been an interesting summer with his statues going down, you know, with Trump saying Yosemite and Yoseminite. You know, it's been this crazy time. But I think he's really a good case study for canceling, too.
You mean cancel, culture cancel.
Yeah, exactly. And I do in the book, I say, look, when it comes to his attitude toward Native Americans, there's no real forgiving him. So I won't try to forgive him.
Well, because as you write, many people of his day, and this is the late 1800s, you know, early 1900s, of course, there was genocide of Native Americans, forced marches. They were taken off these lands that were made public parks. That was their land in many cases. And he, like many, thought of Native Americans as maybe they could become like white people. You know, maybe they had a chance to become like white people. This was racism.
Exactly, it is. And, you know, you got to call it out for that. But it's part of the whole complicated picture of Roosevelt. I say, if we're going to give him credit for being ahead of his time in terms of environmental thinking, we have to call him out for being behind his times. Because it wasn't just he was of his times. He still believed in manifest destiny, which was a half century old at that point. So, we, you know, really what it came down to is he did have an America first border he shared with Donald Trump. And Indians, as he called them, were in the way. And I say Roosevelt had prejudices of his time, but he didn't have one major prejudice, which is anthropocentrism. He was able to see beyond man. He saw the world, and the world was worth saving.
Well, in that way, he was, I mean, that's part of how he earned the title traitor to his class.
Exactly.
And he did, as you know, he became a progressive. In fact, some say some of the things he did, you know, battling trust in corporations, kind of paved the way for his cousin, FDR, and the New Deal. He invited a black man, Booker T. Washington, to the White House, castigated for that. His views on race were growing, but meanwhile, he was steadfast on the land. Mm-hmm. And you end up on Bear's Ears when there is some hope, because the move to preserve this gorgeous area in southeast, I think, Utah, with the two, what are those called, steps, STEPPES, that are the ears?
Yeah,
what are the ears?
They're buttes also.
Buttes? Okay, buttes. Yeah. The two buttes that just look just like bear's ears and just a gorgeous area had been, still is a very spiritual, sacred place for Native Americans. And Native Americans spearheaded the drive to make it into a monument. And you there's a whiff of hope there, you know, like that's maybe making up for some of the past. And then it gets rolled back by the Trump administration and Ryan Zinke. So what do you take from that? All this hope that was there, it's dashed.
Well, it's still there. It's going to depend a little bit about what happens in the first week of November. It also depends on what's happening in the District of Columbia Court, where the Antiquities Act is, you know, the central question which is being decided. And that question is, can a current president undo something a past president has done? So that's a huge question, because if it is decided that they can, it's almost bigger than any decision the courts will face, then nothing is permanently saved. So the exciting thing about Bear's Ears was, first of all, in the past, we'd often taken Native land away to create public land. Here, Native people were creating land that would be, you know, their land. It was also much more inclusive and kind of a bigger non-touristy vision of how a park would be used. It would be used for ceremony, for gathering of plants. So it really excited me, because it seemed a confluence of an old ideal, the Rooseveltian ideal. But here we were making America's best idea better. We were using these new ideas for the Antiquities Act. When we talk about the election, understandably, we focus on a lot of other things. But the land, climate change, these issues are not getting enough of an airing. These are, I would argue, more important than the issues that we focus on day to day.
David Gessner, just really, really briefly, Just can you describe what it's like to sleep out in the absolute pitch black in a national park or monument with just the stars and maybe, a coyote or something passing by?
One was this recent trip where I brought my 21-year-old nephew out west for the first time, kind of reliving my own time out west, the first time I went after college. And we woke up and we had buffalo grazing near our tent. And
that's right.
He was impressed by that.
Snuffling other, and...
Yeah. I'm exiled in North Carolina at the moment, but every summer I head out west and I head to the mountains.
David Gessner's book is Leave It As It Is, What Roosevelt Said About the Grand Canyon, A Journey Through Theodore Roosevelt's American Wilderness. We'll have an excerpt at herenow.org. David, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.